Welcome back to That's Cricket, and we have some World Cup updates here. Joining us, we have a very special guest, Aman Patel. He is your MLC commentator and MC, and he also is co-host to The Big Innings with Nate Hayes. Welcome, Aman, to That's Cricket.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's good to be on. Good to be on with you as well. It's after trying to stay a little bit warm from some of the snow.
Trying to stay warm. Yeah, we got a lot of cool weather over here in the USA right now. But let's get straight in to the World Cup news. Big breaking news. Bangladesh kicked out. Essentially, you can say kicked out of the World Cup. Couldn't come to terms with India and playing in Sri Lanka, not playing in India. Give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think it all happened fairly quickly. There was a lot of rumblings about what was going to happen. And, you know, the ICC cited that they just didn't find that the security risks were there that Bangladesh was talking about. And Bangladesh held steadfast on their resolve that they weren't going to play in India. So it's unfortunate to lose a team that qualified, obviously Bangladesh, four-member side, who could have made some noise. But, you know, allow Scotland to come through. And so maybe now Scotland, who I think was one of the big miss-outs of this World Cup, not qualifying in the European qualifiers, losing out to Italy and the Netherlands, I think that's an opportunity for them to get back in and maybe make some noise of their own.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big upset to have Italy come in over Scotland. That was huge in itself. And then, yeah, Bangladesh weren't able to negotiate with India. And, yeah, the big thing from the ICC was they say there is no threat. You know, a lot of countries are obviously playing over there. Pakistan obviously clearly already playing and already set up to be scheduled to play in Sri Lanka. USA is going to have to play that one game in Sri Lanka to kind of, like, use that because they're in the same pool. But yeah, Scotland in, Bangladesh out. I think at this point, it kind of actually, I said this actually really helps Nepal. Nepal's going to be, I think, is one of the under, like the dark horses in this whole race. And that pool is probably like the easier, I think one of the easier pools to have. So yeah, what do you think of Nepal? I kind of got off the rip here, Nepal. Nepal, underrated T20 World Cup side.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming off a series against the West Indies in Sharjah where they rolled the West Indies, right? I mean, I think everyone was surprised to see them win that series. And they've got some great cricketers there, led by Rohit Baudil, you know, 25, 26-year-old captain who has so much experience. The Bender Singhai Ree, who I think just elevates everyone in that fielding department. He's going to get a run out or two. And then I think their batting has gotten so much better with, you know, guys like Kushal Bartel at the top. And then I think Gulshan Jan, the middle and the lower order, has really ascended since the last World Cup where he was only, I think, 17 or 16 years old in that World Cup. Now he's coming of age. And I think that's a team that, you know, will they make a Super 8? Who knows? But I think they have all the pieces to really make some noise and claim a win or two.
Yeah, I think I got him doing Super 8. I got him going Super 8.
I think they can beat West Indies. I don't hate that.
Yeah, I think they can beat Nepal. Sorry, they can beat Netherlands. They could beat Scotland. I think they have a chance there. And they have Dynamite Singh. One of the best cricketers going around. I'm one of the most highest ranked all-rounders in the world internationally. Mm-hmm. But it's unfortunate he doesn't get like the big name players to play against him because Nepal's not a full member. You know, they only see him in these World Cups kind of thing. But yeah, having that series against the West Indies, beating the West Indies, kind of got everyone talking about it. So I'm excited to see how they go into the World Cup. Like I said, Scotland came in. They were able to announce their squad almost the same day that they were elected in. USA still haven't announced their squad yet. They've been having their pre-tour in Sri Lanka, getting everyone kind of set to play. Thoughts on what we're going to see from them, when they're going to announce? Probably be the last team to announce, I'm assuming, right?
I mean, that's pretty par for the course with USA. You know, you never know when it's going to come, and the announcements typically come right at the last minute. But we know the 18 names that are kind of in contention. I was disappointed maybe not to see Ian Holland part of those 18 names. I thought he was a big miss considering the MLC he had, led the county championship with wickets this year as well. So I thought it was an opportunity to get him back into the USA colors. But, you know, I think there's a good mix of young talent in this squad that I'm actually excited about compared to the 2024 squad, where you only had Sai Mukamala as a reserve. Now you're seeing the fact that, you know, Sai is going to play in the 11 most likely. Sanjay Krishnamurthy is going to have a chance to be in that 11. And then a guy like Rushila Garkar has a chance to be a part of that squad as well. So I'm excited to see that, the young talent come through to mix with the guys who have kind of claimed that 2024 success.
Yeah, the 24th squad was more veteran kind of squad. You got Corey Anderson was there. You had Taylor was there, you know, many caps. Much younger squad. But yeah, this talent coming up, Agurker, Mukamalar, you know, Sanjay, they're the up-and-coming, the guys played under 19s, they're on the rise. And yeah, I think we have, again, another really good chance to go Super 8s, really make a positive statement in the World Cup, beat Pakistan again. I think we have another, like, big moment like that. I'm prepping for that. I'm super excited to make that happen. Across other pools, South Africa notably left Rickleton, who's big in the MLC, had been big in the MLC two previous years for Seattle, and Stubbs out of the World Cup team. And Stubbs, I equate to the single-handedly beating USA at the last World Cup. If you didn't catch Hamid Singh on the boundary, you I think USA wins that game.
Tight, 100%.
So they get left out, and then Rickleton goes out and scores 20 million centuries in the SA20, and Stubbs goes on and wins SA20 for Sunrisers. Thoughts on them finally back into the SA squad?
Yeah, I mean, Dale Steyn said it best, right? I think he tweeted out, why are these guys not in the squad a month ago, maybe, when it was first announced. And, you know, Rickleton, I think he was the third leading run scorer in the entirety of the SA20. And then Stubbs, I think he's starting to mature in front of our eyes as well, because, again, this is a guy who typically batted at 3-4, got the role to bat at 6, and just kind of went all guns a-blazing. And now you're seeing him start to kind of build innings. That SA20 final, unbeaten 68, I believe he had, or maybe a 63 there. He's someone who I think is such an X factor down the order. That's your T20 bat that you need, because, yes, you're going to hope, you know, QDK, who led the SA20 in runs, is going to come off. You're going to hope Rickleton comes off as well. But you always need those guys that can finish. And I think South Africa is a much stronger team with those two in the mix. To not see maybe an Odenil Bartman get a look after leading the SA20 in wickets could be a surprise. But I think they're a much stronger team with those two back in the lineup.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, Dale Steyn tweeting, I was like, that's hilarious. And yeah, it's good to see them back in. Like, Rickleton unfortunately missed out on playing MLC this year with the World Test Championship happening, wasn't able to get over to Seattle, missed seeing him. But yeah, he's fantastic on the rise. And Stubbs, I think he's been got a lot of experience playing for Delhi Capitals. Didn't score that many runs in IPL, but he's obviously playing that is such a big experience, and you gain so much being over there. Okay, I want to ask you now your picks for the World Cup. I want you to give me the four. We're going to go for the four groups and the two teams that are going to go through to the Super Six. So we're going to start with Group A.
All right. Well, I'm going to take India at home. I think they're going to be tough. And I'm going to go with the Homer USA pick. I think we got to win over Namibia and Netherlands. And I think we're going to steal one from either India or Pakistan.
Nice. Definitely, I think I'm on the same trend as you. I'm going to go India and USA in that order. That's going to be Group A. They'll move through to Super Sixes. Moving into Group B, who do we have from Group B?
I think Australia is going to get through that squad. They always just look so good. And, you know, we'll see if they can figure it out once it comes to the Super 8s. And then from there, I'm going to go Sri Lanka just because they're playing at home, just because they have those home conditions. But I think Ireland's got an outside shot to get in there.
I think I'm with you on Group B. I'm going to go, yes, Australia and Sri Lanka in that order, making it through to the Super 8s. Group C.
I think this is the toughest group, just because you got the three associates in there, the West Indies. I think England's going to get through. I think England are in great form. I think they're going to find their way into the Super 8s. I'm going to go Scotland. I know they haven't had a lot of time to work together. They haven't had a lot of time to train. But I think Brandon McMullen's such an underrated all-rounder, and I think they have great fast bowling. And I don't think these wickets are going to be necessarily super spin-friendly, even though it's in the subcontinent. I think I'm going to go England-Scotland to get out of Group C.
Okay, I'm going to go England and Nepal. Nepal is my dark horse in this race. I think Nepal has a big shot to make it out of Group C. I got England and Nepal. Finally, we got Group D, which I think may be the hardest of the groups. Who do you think is getting the top two spots in Group D?
Yeah, I think South Africa, with Rickleton and Stubbs back in and the form QDK's in, I think they're going to get through. And then I'm stuck between Afghanistan and New Zealand. New Zealand's recent form hasn't given me too much hope, but obviously you're going to get Finn Allen back into the mix. And I think that's such a huge thing to add into this group. And I'm going to go New Zealand. I think Afghanistan's got a chance. I like Rashid Khan a lot, but I'm going to go New Zealand just because of the form Finn Allen's in.
Okay. I'm going to go Definitely Afghanistan. I think Afghanistan gets in. Okay. One of the big things with Afghanistan is that it's the opening pair. So if you can't get their opening pair out, they score half of their runs every time. I think Afghanistan, probably the most likely able to have the similar conditions. I think they've got a good shot. And then, again, it's going to be toss up New Zealand, South Africa. I don't know. I have this weird thing with South Africa. I made a big thing last World Cup about how South Africa isn't going to win the World Cup, even if they had Quinton de Kock and everyone in there. I'm not going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go New Zealand. If Finn Allen plays, I'm going to go New Zealand, Afghanistan, Group D. Okay. That's where I'm going.
I love it. I think Afghanistan's got as good a shot as anybody. The opening pair is ridiculous.
Yeah. There you go. That is your predictions for the T20 Men's Cricket World Cup. But more USA news from around the world. Our under-19 squad, they are playing the ODI under-19 World Cup. We had the first ever 100 scored in the World Cup by an American. And then we had, 2 games later, the second 100 scored by American. Give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think that there could be a cooler thing that happens, right? Peter Del Pano put out a tweet where he said coming into this year, there had been no Americans with a century in any World Cup, in any ICC event, and now you got two of them, and they're both two youngsters, and that was so cool to see on the team, who's had a really cool couple of months for him. He was playing out in Dubai with like kind of the youth championship league that was out there, scoring a lot of runs. He's played a lot of minor league cricket and has played really well there. And what I love is these are two guys who bowl pace and bat, you know, and that's something that we just don't see too much of in the States. So, Nitish Sudhini and Anandan Jam both can come in, pace bowling all-rounders. I think those are so vital. And then Utkarsh Srivastava quietly scores a half century in that game, and he was kind of blasting it around. I was watching the interview that him and Jam did post-game, and Anandan was saying, you know, I was scared that I wasn't going to get to 100 because you started smashing them around. I thought we were going to both get to 80 and that would be it. So yeah. It's exciting to see all the young USA guys continuing to make those leaps. And, you know, while you only get the one win is huge because it's your first win. But, you know, you had so many good performances. Ritwik Upperty in that game against Scotland picked up 4 wickets to go along with the big scalp of Vaibhav Suryavanshi that he had earlier in the tournament. We saw good work from some of the spinners and Sahil Garg, and Utkarsh Srivastava himself was able to pick up a couple of wickets with the ball in hand. So I thought from a tournament perspective, you're seeing more and more performances, which is what you want. You don't want to just get to the World Cup and then you see there's a huge gap. I feel like you can see that gap closing, and you know it might not be completely closed, but the talent is there, and you give the USA some of these facilities and more opportunities to play with the best, and you feel okay, the next step is coming, and it might be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think the experience is the biggest part for them. You know, it is a different challenge in a USA trying to get the players to play that match conditions, playing a lot of cricket. You know, Australia and India have such an advantage over everyone else, being able to play cricket consistently, having the academies and having everything for them to play all year round, building those teams out. But get their first win, unable to qualify though. It was, they got that washout against New Zealand where there was a reality where they potentially could have won. Yeah. They were just outplayed in the games, especially against India. You know, it's tough. It was tough for them to beat India. I don't think anyone's going to beat India. They're probably going to go through. It'll probably be, I think, India, Australia kind of end up there at the end for that under-19s World Cup. Moving to the women's now, we have the USA women's national team has made it to the Super Sixes, which is super exciting. So we're on the verge of qualifying for the Women's World Cup. How cool is this?
Yeah. It's awesome. I was there at the American Regional Qualifiers where they qualified to get to this global qualifier. And they're doing this all without their captain, Aniko Kolan, who kind of had a knee injury a year ago now in Argentina then. So to do this without your captain, you're trying to fill in that wicketkeeper batter role. And Ella Clara just saying, yeah, I'm more than capable of doing that. She scores a big 70. Tara Norris looks unbelievable. And doesn't she always with the left arm seam. And she went 3-for-10 in their loss the other day to, I believe it was Bangladesh, that they lost to. She went 3-for-10, and she was the one that they couldn't get off the square. And then you're even seeing some of the folks who maybe not are in the regular rotation. The 20-year-old Lika Shetty got in for her first game against PNG, and it was kind of a must-win game. And even with that, the USA felt comfortable to rotate. She picked up 4 wickets, and she was the main wicket taker in that mix. And I think it's now really interesting to see this kind of Super Six stage, because you're thinking, okay, you can get through a couple of these teams. You beat Scotland in a warm-up, you've beaten Nepal in a warm-up, can you keep that momentum going? I think you're going to need to see a little bit more with the ball from, you know, maybe the Batrudasma to kind of pick up where she left off and maybe get the Gokwadali to find her rhythm, which it seemed like she found against PNG. And then with the bat, I think Ella Claridge has done enough. Jethna Reddy Bagyadala looks in sublime touch as well. And Ritu Singh has been great down the order. You're missing one bat in there in the middle, whether that's going to be Asani Vaghela, Aditya Batrudasma, to make that happen. But I think there's a really good chance that you see the women get to a World Cup, and how cool would that be? Because then you'd have, in the same year, you got three USA teams in a World Cup. I think that would be the dream for any USA cricket fan.
Yeah, I'm pumped for that. Like I said, we got to make top four out of the six to qualify. And Team USA Open Women's haven't qualified before, right? That's, this will be the first time. It'll be first time they make it. And then, yeah, we're going to get all three in the same year. We'll get Open Men's, Under 19s, Women's. It'll be awesome. Excited for that. Finally, I'm going to switch over to a little bit. We had a little bit of NLC news. I don't know if you saw, but Cam White is appointed to the Unicorns as captain. As coach. Coach of the Unicorns. He could probably still play. He could probably still captain. Liam's still playing, so maybe Cam White can probably still play. got a new coach into the MLC, which is super exciting. Coming up for season four? Season four, right?
Yeah,
you've been a part of MLC from the start, right?
Yeah, so I was the MC, like ground announced in the first year, and then I've been commentating since then for the league.
Yeah, beautiful. So, yes, they've picked up Cam White as coach. Thoughts on getting Whitey over?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's someone who has been around the system, so it makes sense to bring him in. Obviously, Shane Watson had such a unique touch on that group. We've heard like Sanjay Krishnamurthy talking to Shane Watson and how that's really impacted his game and the way he wants to play cricket. You've heard from Finn Allen over the past couple of weeks on different podcasts talking about how he loves the Unicorns in the group, and I don't think it's going to change too much the vibe of the group. And again, Cam White boasts a lot of experience of his own. He's been around, so it makes a lot of sense. I'll be intrigued to see what he does. Maybe that's different from Shane Watson, as the Unicorns try to get over that hump and get back to a final and win a final. But they have a strong side. They have a good domestic group. And if they can keep some of those internationals around, I think they're going to be right back in the punch of things.
Yeah, I mean, they are looking to get their first win. I think, you know, Watson was there for 3 years. It was good. I got to speak with him last season. Such a refreshing guy and had such a positive look on cricket and everything. It was really good. And, unfortunately, they were unable to miss. They missed out on getting to the final. We thought they were going to get there, but it wasn't to be. They've also signed, UConn have also signed Hardy. He did play for the Kings in the two seasons ago. But I was looking at it, you know, the Perth Scorch has just won Big Bash. Pretty much the whole lineup is the Unicorns. You got Finn Allen, Unicorn, Inglis, Unicorn, Hardy, Unicorn, Connolly, Unicorn, and Brody Couch, Unicorn. So I think it's Orange is also becoming a trend now in 2026. We got Big Bash same day win as the SA20. Two Orange teams win, Sunrisers and Scorchers. Maybe it's time for the Corns to get up. Maybe it's time for the Corns. It's a year of the Orange.
I think you got a lot of fans out there in San Francisco right now after that statement. And they have the team. They have all the pieces. I think last year you saw Finn Allen come to the forefront, and it just felt like the injuries kind of hit them at the wrong time. And then obviously the weather game against Washington was such a blow for them. But again, that team is so strong. And Aaron Hardy adds just another element of, you know, they try to do it with Shafane Rutherford in years past of, okay, can you get that fast bowling all-rounder involved and extend that batting lineup even more? So Aaron Hardy, here's an opportunity for him to come into the team. Obviously, Inglis provides a lot. And again, you're still going to get the same performances from guys like Hasan Khan, from Sanjay Krishnamurthy. So they're so good domestically, and to see their internationals in form, I think that's such a key, right? What are your internationals like when they get to the tournament? And if they're in form, you're in good luck. And so last year, Finn Allen was carrying tremendous form. And if he can continue to carry that, I think San Francisco could be right back in the thick of it.
Oh, yeah. Finn Allen, I think, is the absolute steal in the cricket world right now. He's so well. KKR picks him up for pennies. Two crore they pick him up for. He's a hands down the best opening bat going around, no doubt. I'm assuming he's going to tee off for New Zealand. I'm assuming he's picked for New Zealand. You would think so. He should just tee off and do very well. And also Timmy Seifert, also a fellow New Zealander, plays. Mm-hmm. He got picked up for KKR also. So I don't know if you follow the IPL match. They're moving, like IPL is going to be coming up after World Cup. Do you have a prediction? My prediction from the outset is I think KKR has done very well with their picks from the draft, And if Phelan Allan keeps doing the way he's doing, I think KKR have a really good shot.
I think they do as well. I think what MI did, they stole Quinn de Kock for one crore. I think that's your move, right? You steal UDK and you plug him into a lineup that already features Rohit Sharma, Tilak Varma, Suri Kumar Yadav, Hardik Pandya, and you have Bumrah down low. I don't see how that team isn't going to find success again. I know that's such a safe pick because they're MI. They always are in the thick of it. I think, you know, when you look at CSK, they might struggle not being able to play in their natural home ground, having to move to Ranchi, but it means probably MS Dhoni plays another 2 years with the team. So
he'll sure play forever. He's gonna play forever. He'll play until his 90s.
I don't think anyone will complain.
He's never going to leave the team. But then we had trades like Samson got traded and Jadeja got traded. It's going to be interesting how that goes. I mean, I don't know how much you value Samson as the top order there, but I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know why you would trade for the best. You gave away one guy, and then you got the best all-rounder. Spinning all around.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're Rajasthan, you're looking at the fact that, you know, you have Dhruv Jarrell sitting there, you've got Suryavanshi, you've got Jaiswal, so maybe you don't need an opener because Jarrell's going to go and keep for you anyway, batting in the middle. And Riyam Parag, if he keeps that form, there you go. There's another guy to plug in. And if you're CSK, you're thinking, okay, can we create a top three that looks Sanju, that looks, you know, with Ruthraj Gaikwad in there as well? Can we kind of manipulate something there? Also, you're moving to a place where ball is not going to spin as much, so maybe Jadeja isn't your first come. I don't know. I would have kept Arvind Jadeja, but Sanju Samson's in the World Cup squad for a reason, and we'll see if he has some form headed into the IPL.
See how it goes. I mean, and speaking, finally, we'll talk about India. They've absolutely smashed New Zealand. Like, some of the hitting was unbelievable. I famously posted, I was like, oh, India's in trouble here. They've scored. New Zealand scored 200. There was 2 for 6. And then next minute, like, within 8 overs, it was like, I posted the win percentage. New Zealand had a win percentage of 88. It was 88% New Zealand to win at the end of the second over. And then by the end of the 8th over, India had an 80% chance of winning the game. It was absolutely insane.
It's utterly ridiculous what they've been doing. And even this last game, I mean, Sanju Samson bowled first ball and thinking, hold on here, New Zealand could get a couple early scalps and game on. And then Ishan Kishan and Abhishek Sharma and Suri Kumar Yadav all say, nah, it's over. Chase, what, 153 in 10 overs, I think that's what it was. Abhishek Sharma hits the second fastest half century by an Indian ever. I mean, they're in such unbelievable nick. And again, to carry that form into a World Cup is so big for them. We talked about Sanju playing that World Cup team. I don't know if Ishan Kishan's batting this well and Tilak Varma's going to come back. India might say, look, we'll go three lefties up front and then Suri at four. So that'll be another question. But I mean, India's in such great nick. It's going to take something really special opening day for the USA. Maybe Harmeet Singh back in Mumbai with Saurabh. Maybe they could combine to get rid of some of the lefties in that lineup.
He's got him. Yeah, he's got him. I'm going to call it right now. I got a Harmeet Singh Golden Duck call again. I called it against South Africa 2 years ago. I'm gonna call it again. Harmeet Singh's getting a golden duck ball. He's gonna get a golden duck ball. One and two back to back. Aman, thank you so much for being on That's Cricket, the traditional sign off. I want you to keep me with a That's Cricket and sign us off.
Well, thank you so much, Adam, and well, That's Cricket.
That's Cricket. See you next time, guys.